We are in this letter, and we are seeing a bit of the heart and the mind of Paul when it comes down to some of the silliness you will sometimes see in churches. We spoke in our previous lessons about gross misconduct towards the gospel. Today I want to look at kind of some of the things that we will develop if we're not careful. And again, of course, we're never going to leave the main point of what he is saying, and that is you cannot add works plus grace to equal salvation. And I would even go so far as to say, and the Bible backs me up on this, that when you put your faith in a grace plus works salvation, it's not salvation that you have. It must be pure, unadulterated, unfooled around with, just like your orange juice, right? I can't remember the name of that commercial. Who it was that did that commercial? It's pure, unadulterated orange juice. We don't add anything into it. You can't add anything into your salvation and make it to equal salvation. Because what we've done is we've inserted a bit of pride. We've inserted a whole lot of arrogance into believing that we can work to deserve our salvation. As we're looking here, verse 11, let's go ahead and begin our reading. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from forgive me. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now, what's being said here is that he's sitting there, and as he's ministering and he's doing his job and he's doing his work for the Lord, he is sitting with the Gentiles. Now, that is a very big thing, because Jews did not sit with Gentiles. Christ himself had that accusation railed against him. What are you doing sitting among these sinners? What are you doing sitting with these people? What are you doing talking to this woman at the well? What? They would often question him. Well, there was Peter doing exactly what he had seen the Lord do. He's sitting with the Gentiles. Well, some folks from James came, and what does he do? All of a sudden, he ain't sitting in the same spot no more. He's acting in a very un-Jewish way. Why? Because he did not want to receive those accusations. He did not want to be looked at in that way. Now, a more carnal mind would look at this and say, aha, well, see, it's okay for us to act worldly from time to time, and it is very high-minded or very convoluted to always try to act Christian and always have some separation between you and these things. That's not what it says. What it says is Peter, above all people who should know what salvation is, all of a sudden got real concerned about the opinions of those that are putting together works plus grace. Well, I don't want any of these circumcised people to see me sitting among the uncircumcised. They may get the opinion that I believe that these uncircumcised could be saved. That's the opinion Christ gave you, Peter. That's the opinion he gave. That it is not by blood, ancestry, or ethnicity that we obtain salvation. Salvation is not for any particular type or whatever have you. One of the dumbest debates among American Christendom today is the color of Christ. You walk by certain churches, you've got an English Christ. You walk by others, you have an African Christ. Now, of course, I don't believe you should have any image of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't know what he looked like. And again, we're just guessing and making it up. Even the pictures we have are often modeled after regular men. That does not seem anything short of blasphemy to me. When I take the image of a man, doll it up to look like we would assume classically Jesus would be, give him long hair, a long beard, and we would call that Jesus Christ. That's blasphemy, in my opinion. We won't have that here in our church. Even when we're talking about Sunday school classes, when I'm going over stuff and teachers bring things to me, I've instructed I do not like images of Christ. Right? Not even cartoons. Well, is he white? Is he black? He was Middle Eastern. He was Middle Eastern. And how dare you try to put a face to him? You don't know what that face looks like. How dare you? One of the dumbest mistakes we make, well, we want to make sure that we are within the right crowd. We're among the right ethnicity. Remember, he is a white Christ. He is a black Christ. He is a Middle Eastern Christ. He is a Jewish Messiah. What are you worried about? When the Lord came to save, he came to save neither Jew nor Gentile, but both. Right? We always say those. We go on and there's two types of people. People who sleep on the left side of the bed, people who sleep on the right side of the bed. There's two kinds of people. People who put their carts away and people who don't put their carts away. There's two types of people. There's the Jew, there's the Gentile, and we all fit into one or the other. And I'll tell you this, he came to save both. We need to back off certain ideas. Well, he didn't come to save the addict. He didn't come to save the liberal. He didn't come. Oh, yes, he did. And how highfalutin of us to believe that we deserve it more than others. The moment Peter stopped taking his regular table among the Gentiles and sitting differently and oppositely is the moment he gave in to cultural peer pressure. I would dare say there's many a church that gives in to cultural peer pressure. Well, we got to have this kind of music. We've got to preach this. We've got to say this. We've got to say that. We got to fall into a certain line of what everybody else is doing, because if we don't keep up, we'll get left behind. My friends, the health of a church has only and ever been judged by its closeness to Christ. Christ will add to that church. Christ will remove from that church. We do not need to keep up with the Joneses, right? Well, there's this brand new doctrine going around. Nah, I don't care. The old ones work just fine. The old ones are good. You know, and then there's some things that you could or could not do, you know. We could take it or leave it. We don't know. We're sitting here in nice cushioned pews. At a time, there might have been some churches that looked back, ducked down on us for having cushioned pews. We've got heat. Some people say, well, back in my day, we didn't have furnaces in the churches. You froze for the Lord. They've got images out there on the internet of some places out in jungles where the flooding has come into the church and they've got to wade their way into the church building. There's this one that I could imagine, like the water's up to their ankles. They're sitting in the pews, water's up to their ankles, and they're in church. Well, we've got dry floors. Are we less than Christian than them? Right? We drove here instead of having to walk through miles of jungle. Are we better or worse than them? It doesn't matter. You got the gospel. You got the gospel and you're good. Right? And that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on what is true and what is real. Poor Peter, I don't want anybody to think one way or the other. Hey, are you a Christian? Hey, do you go to that church? What kind of church do you go to? And some folks would hesitate to say Baptist church. Some folks would hesitate to even say they go to a church. Hey, doesn't your church believe this? Well, my church believes it, but I don't. But you do. But you're ashamed. You're nervous. My friends, let the truth be the truth. Let facts be the facts. Let's not hide or shy away from what needs to be said and what needs to be done. Peter, again, demonstrating that he still had a little bit of the fear that he had the day they took the Lord Jesus Christ. The fear of what people thought of him. The world's opinions are going to change on a dime. Who are we to pretend to want to keep up? Well, this is the brand new philosophy. You know, you think of Brother Mark's devotion this morning. Yeah, we got some weird stuff going on in our society. Would you really want to say that you're just trying to avoid? Would you really want to be in a position where you're trying to avoid their scathing reviews? Why should I care what they think? And I'll get into a conversation with somebody over the Bible and I'll say, hey, listen, this is a passage of scripture that very clearly backs up the point. Well, you know, I can't take that passage of scripture seriously. Thank you. Have a good day. Because if I can't operate on this ground, it's a waste of conversation. Right? If it's going to be my opinion versus your opinion, my way of being clever versus your way of being clever, it's not going to work. And trust me, I've got some clever arguments. I got some fun ways of saying things. I know how to have me a good old-fashioned debate. I enjoy a good old-fashioned debate. But you know what I learned a long time ago? They don't go anywhere unless they're based on this book. is just two clever idiots. You know what I mean? You're very clever, but you're getting nowhere. You're very clever, but all you're doing is at a particular point, you've stopped from proving the scripture, and you've started trying to prove your own mental prowess. And that ain't the point of the Bible. We either agree that it says what it says, or we don't. We can either prove that it says what it says, or we can't. But there is none of this what's popular today. So we need to make sure that we are about what we're about. Verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Listen, Peter, if you've got some bacon on your sandwich, and that's okay, if you're sitting with the Jewish people, and that's okay, or the Gentile people, and that's okay, why people got to be circumcised in order to be saved? Now, I'm not entirely sure that's what Peter was preaching, but that's how he was acting, wasn't it? All of a sudden, the Gentiles weren't clean enough. I got to sit with my own people. God's people changed when Jesus came. Used to be when we said God's people, we talked about the Israelites only. With salvation, we all became all of the saved, all the elect mean God's people. And that's what Paul is bringing out here. He's not telling a funny story about one time how he made Peter blush. He's telling a very important thing. Hey, everybody is doing what you're doing, but it's wrong. It's wrong. Right? Salvation is salvation. It's grace and grace alone. It is the blood of Christ and the blood of Christ alone. It is not plus anything else. It is not your association. It's not your lineage. It's not that Abraham is your father. What is it? It's grace. Grace only. And he's sitting there again, just kind of calling out the hypocrisy, you know, before the people you're afraid of, before the people whose opinion you're afraid of came into town, you're okay living the way Christ taught. But the moment they come in, all of a sudden, it's the old days and Jesus never came. No, he came. We're not talking about a deconstruction. We're talking about pulling away some of the nonsense stuff. The not sitting at the tables with Gentiles. The seeing a difference between Jew and Gentile now. Again, it was all about the change that God had made. You don't need those works. The purpose of the works that we received through Moses only served to prove to us we couldn't keep it. There were some things, as you look in there, that they were very, they almost seemed arbitrary. Why this animal and not that animal? Why this behavior and that? Why this and not that? We go all day through all the different rules and say, hey, this one, we could definitely see that there was a solid purpose to. Others, we would sit there and we would say, well, I don't know what the purpose of that was. It was to prove to us that we couldn't and wouldn't follow it. But some of those things, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish elite, they added to. Not doing work was very clear. The definition was very clear. And all of a sudden you get a bunch of people going, well, we don't even boil water on the Sabbath because it might go up and clean and wash the ceiling, and that counts as work. It got silly. Real silly. It's cutting away the silly. It's cutting away this, we are a prideful and wonderful people. No, the very thing that you're following is set to prove to you you need what has already come. Right? And you're waiting for something that's already come and gone. And Peter, you should know. Child of God, we should know. We should know that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We should know that there is no, well, how I'm going to act one way in front of my Christian friends, and I'm going to act a different way in front of my lost friends. No, you're not. You got to act the same way through and through. Why? Because the Lord could save them. Lord could save them. They need you to maintain your testimony. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You're still acting like you can be a goody two-shoes. You're still acting like you could be the good guy. If I follow all these rules, everyone will see what a good guy I am. We are sinners in need of justification. We are sinners in need of forgiveness. It always breaks my heart when you see people, they act Christian so they can prove how much better than they are than the non-Christians. The truth of the matter is, because I was so lost, He came and He died on the cross for my sins that I could be saved. Because of where I was, I needed Him. I needed Him. And He came and He delivered me. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. That we pervert that when we sit there and we think that our salvation or our new Christian walk makes us better than others. No. The purpose of me maintaining these things is for my protection, so that I don't fall off and backslide. The purpose of me maintaining these things is to please my Heavenly Father and to not incur more sin. The reason for me doing those things is so that I can be the salt and light of this world. But they never prove me. I was proven insufficient. Long before I was born, my sin nature disqualified me from ever being someone that should be looked up to. Now, I can be an encouragement as far as I follow after the Lord, but who do I praise for that? The Lord. The Lord. We're told that there's a crown given to soul winners when you get into heaven. And we're also told that we're going to take those crowns and lay them at Jesus' feet. Why? Because I wouldn't be a soul winner if He didn't first save my soul. I wouldn't be able to follow after the Christian standard if He didn't first save me and point it out to me and convict my soul. I won't even finish strong if He doesn't keep conviction in my life. Oh, there's no pride. There is no arrogancy, at least no room for it in the proper Christian life. Verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What was it that, if I build again, this idea that I could be justified through the keeping of the law, I disparage what I'm saying about grace. And this isn't my idea, this thing about grace. The Lord Jesus Christ closed the book on the Old Testament. Closed it. As a matter of fact, there was a 400-year gap between the last writings and the birth of Christ. Right? There's a distance between them. The works salvation is closed. We cannot justify ourselves. There's no purpose in trying to make ourselves look good in bragging about our works, because our works without our faith is what? There's going to be people that show up to they're going to be people that show up before the throne of God, and they're going to sit there. They're going to say, "Well, I was a member of that church for 30 years. I gave X amount of dollars. I participated in this. I built that. I was there for almost every work day. I was up on the roof. I was down in the basement. I was through the crawl spaces. I did a whole lot of stuff in that church." But the Lord's going to look down on them and say, "There was no salvation. But I tithed, I gave extra, I was very sweet and very kind, and I had a picture of the cross right there in my office, and I never did this, I never did that, and I never did anything. I was a good person." No salvation. Oh, you could pile on the good works all day, but without ever having come to repentance and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is no salvation. It is in that and that alone we trust with our eternity. verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That echoes exactly what I've been saying since the beginning. And the purpose of it was that verse right there. The moment I believe, works plus faith, works plus grace equals salvation, then there was a way for me to be saved without Christ's blood. Christ's blood was insufficient. And if we look at why we needed his blood, why he needed to live a perfect life, why he needed to die sinless to be able to take our sin upon us, we then have to sit there and be honest and say no other works could do it then. Because the nature of the payment, that would do nothing. It would do nothing. Story about a kid, and we got to be done with Sunday school. Story about a boy who goes to his, he saves up all of his pennies, right? And he goes out and he buys a candy bar. And as the dad's going through, they're going through, and the dad sees this bike, and the kid really wants the bike. And the dad grabs the bike for his boy, takes it up there. The kid's got his, I don't think it was a candy bar, I think it was just a piece of candy, because he goes into his pocket, and now that I'm a father of sons, I know that once it goes into the pocket, it comes out as mud. But the dad puts the money on the counter to pay for the bike, and the boy, wanting to be a part of the equation, takes out his piece of candy and puts it right up on the counter. And of course, the cashier can't take that. Why? Because we don't take candy for payment. Lord, don't take obedience as payment. The nature of our debt was different than what good works could ever pay back. I can thank the Lord for the rest of my life with my good behavior. I can show him how much I appreciate it through my service. But I cannot pay my debt with good works. Paul goes through, and in that verse, you know, I'm crucified with Christ. That old sinner, that old person, that old me, that old man died on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. The only difference is now I live, but it's not me. It's Christ that lives through me. I am changed. So does that about, am I Jew or am I Gentile, but am I changed? Am I made different through the cross? Get into a lot of conversations. Hey, what are you Baptist? Are you Catholic? Are you Methodist? Are you whatever? And I just kind of look back, and this has always been my response, at least for a while. Does it matter? According to the Bible, this is what salvation is. Right? We know there is a God because we've got a book that tells us there is a God. We know what he expects and what he wants because of that book. Therefore, if I am to agree with him, if I am to follow him, I must go by that book. Yes, and most of the time they say yes. This is what the book says. This is what the book expects of us. Do you have it or no? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the Sunday school class. Lord, thank you for this book of Galatians that we have to learn and to grow by. Lord, help us to never get puffed up in pride. The best of us came from you. Now, that does not mean that we're to be knuckle-dragging and low-egoed people. But, Father, we should instead have compassion on others, show love towards others, give the gospel towards others, and not think more highly of ourselves, Lord, than we should. It all goes back to you. It's to you that gets all the honor, glory, and praise. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.